Brother Bob, for that special. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Daniel. I know some of you have noticed we had some folks show up this morning visiting, Randy and Hazel Smith. They came back just to slum a little bit and see if we were still here, and brag on how good they're getting along up there in Ohio. And Brother Randy told me he'd come back for a bass tournament. I don't believe that for a minute. But I told him we had some leftover work he didn't get done before he left. All joking aside, good to have them and each one of you that might be visiting. Daniel is the book I want you to look at this morning. Chapter 9, please. Chapter 9. I am going to read a few verses. I'm going to refer to some others as we go through, as the Lord leads here. I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject of praying late. Praying late. I think about a young preacher and his wife that had been at a country church for a while, and they had discovered being there that there was a dear old lady in the church that no matter what happened, if the preacher had a trip to make, if he had a picnic with somebody, or if he went to somebody else's house for supper, that they always had to include her. They had to go by and get her and take her with them. And then all of a sudden there was some kind of picnic or eating out planned, and somehow right up to the last minute they'd forgot to call her. And the preacher's wife said, "Honey, I've made a terrible mistake. I've got to call Sister So-and-so." And he said, "You better call her quick. She'll be hurt." So she called, and the lady on the other end of the line said, "Too late. I've already prayed for rain." No. Sometimes we do our best praying as late praying. The prayer I'm going to point you to in Daniel chapter 9 is after the fact. It's about 70 years after the fact that the Israelites have been taken into captivity in the land of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's gone now by the time we read this. And another kingdom is taken over, but Daniel's still there. Now, if Daniel was taken captivity at, say, a teenager, and about 70 years is gone here now, so Daniel's going to get on up there a little bit in years. He's going to probably be somewhere around 85 years old, our best guess on it. And yet we find one of the most powerful prayers that you read in the Bible, intercessory prayer, is being made here by the prophet Daniel on behalf of his people, the Jews. Look at it in chapter 9, verse 1. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes," so the Medes and Persians have taken over now the kingdom of Babylon, "the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel," so the first year of the king Darius's reign, "I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem." So let's get a little bit of a setting here. Daniel now, probably 85 years old, down in the kingdom now of the Medes and Persians. He said, "I was studying my Bible." That's the way we'd paraphrase it, because he was studying from books. He was reading the book of Jeremiah. He was reading where Jeremiah said the people are going to be taken into captivity, and their time there under Babylon, under the rule, is going to be 70 years. Now also, probably he was looking back in the book of Moses, because he refers here to the law, to the Torah, to the writings of Moses in his prayer. And I think he was referring to the punishments that was brought on the people in taking them away to captivity, and even the number of the years being given back then. Most of you Bible students, you know this. Israel stole the seventh day from God for 490 years. God told them to let the land lay vacant, remember? Every seventh year you let it lay vacant and it'll produce enough and you'll be all right. But they were sort of like a lot of folks we know today. God says, "Give me a tenth." They said, "Oh no, we got to steal it all." So the Jews stole it all, stole all the land. That went for 490 years. And then when God brought judgment and took them away into captivity, he took them all back at one time. All they owed him at one time. You divide 7 into 490 and you get 70. They were in captivity here 70 years. The prophet Jeremiah had predicted it. And it did happen that way. Now, you can study the history a little bit, and I'm not going to get into it here very much. But as we look at this, into the captivity, Daniel's old. He's learned from the books. He's praying now to God. I recognize it's the 9/11 weekend. We had a little service down at the college yesterday. And again, I say I appreciate everybody that helped us. If you've had on the TV in the last couple of days, you've seen a lot of rerunning concerning the tragedy of 9/11. A lot of information on it. My heart goes out to those families and those that lost loved ones. And all of that you've seen on the TV. And I have feelings about it. I read Daniel here, and I realize that God often put his feelings in his prophets. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He felt because he felt for God. He felt as God felt toward the sins of his people and the rebellion of his people against him. And as we see the news today, I can't help but feel a burden for my nation, a burden for what is going on. In a sense, we look around today and we see the big picture. And the big picture is this, not what's in the daily news. But the big picture is we got a nation going down the tubes. I feel like I'm attending the funeral service of America when some of this stuff that I watch that's going on today. Our demise is before us, and yet we want to pretend we don't see it. We want to look at it through what's called politically correct vision, and it's not correct at all. It's distortion and it's deception to keep God's people from the truth. If we look around on our nation today, if we love our nation, we can't help but feel for it. And as I read this prayer of Daniel for his nation, I compare it to our need today. Daniel is praying after 70 years. And as I look in his prayer and pick up some of the points, his nation's been in captivity 70 years. He's asking God to release them. I want to tell you, I want to jump ahead just to say this. One of the saddest things about it is when God did release them. The majority had become so worldly with Babylon they didn't want to leave. They didn't want to go back. And you read in the books in the Bible, Ezra and Nehemiah and some other places, where there's a small percentage went back. A small percentage went back to do the will of God. And many of them just liked it too much where they were. If you want to know what the big trouble with America today is, we're liking some of this junk too much. We don't want to get back right with God because it's going to cost us to give up something we fear. And I see, as I compare to Daniel here, I'm going to look at his prayer. Hope you'll keep your Bible open and look at it with me a little bit. In this long prayer, about 18 verses in this chapter, and one of the longer prayers in the Bible, Solomon gave another one. Of course, Jesus did in John 17 and so forth. But what a powerful, a truthful, honest prayer this is from the prophet Daniel. And I look at it in verses 4 and 5. If you look at it with me, I see the confession that he makes. Look at it in verse 4. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Look at it in verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, have done wickedly, have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. What's he saying? He's saying we've sinned. We've departed. You read on further, he says, we've not hearkened, we've not listened is what he's saying. And he's pleading, oh yes, he's saying I personally have sinned, but he's pleading nationally. He's pleading for his nation. He is confessing here for his nation, the national sin they had committed. I want to make a comparison today. Does America have national sin? What would it be? It'd be not hearkening to God. What would it be? It'd be departing from the Word of God. That's what it would be. How about, just use some examples. How about abortion? Is that departing from God's Word? Of course it is. Of course it is. You saw in the news this week where another judge had overruled so they can go back to stem cell so-called research. Now that's where they can take the live babies, take it while it's fresh, and do a market thing in the stem cells. They can get the same results from adult stem cells, but no. This is for the abortion crowd. This is what it is. Are we violating God's word on that? Of course we are. How about the movement to get us to accept homosexuality today? In the news today, the judge said it's unconstitutional for the don't ask, don't tell in the military. Talk to some of these military boys about it. Now, let me say something to you. This judge that overruled out Proposition 8 out in California, the thing where the people voted down gay marriage, and now he's overruled that. You know what he said the problem was? He said it was the churches. And he's talking about churches like this one, where a preacher will stand up and say homosexuality is a sin, it is wrong, it's an abomination to God, the Bible says so. A homosexual can be saved if he trusts Christ, but if he don't, that is an awful sin that God condemns. But this judge said, well, it's been demonized by the churches. That's the only reason it's bad. By the way, he was a homosexual himself. But the news media don't want to talk much about that. You see? Now I'm saying to you, the confession of Daniel here is confessing their sins. America is in the same boat today. We're closing our eyes to the very same thing that has brought judgment on nations down through history is bringing judgment on America today. Sad. I see in this prayer here, his confession, I see the confusion that resulted from it in verse 7 and 8. Look at it with me. It says in verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at the day, at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to unto all Israel that are near, Israel that's near, and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them. Because of their trespass, they have trespassed against thee. Now what do you say? He says it again in verse 8. Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. Let me say, we are in a confusion state today like never before. Daniel said, as the result of our sin, we confess we are in confusion. We're perplexed. We don't know what to do. Our people are mixed up. They're confused. That's what he's saying, because of that sin. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible says it like this. Says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, how shall we know how to prepare for battle? Now, we're in the time in America where the uncertain sound is the prevailing sound. They're trying to get you and I to accept as politically correct and right that our very nature tells us is wrong. Even if we didn't have God shouting it from the Word, our very nature rebels against something like homosexuality, for instance. The Bible does tell us that nature teaches some things. And there's just some things that I tell you what, pedophiles, abortion, men with men, women with women, all of that is an abhorrence to the very nature of a decent, law-abiding man that's got some morals about him. We abhor that sort of stuff. But our world has become confused today. We look at this thing that's been in the news all week concerning Islam and the Quran. And listen, they've made a bigger sin out of destroying a false religion book than they ever made out of what that false religion is doing to the world. And I don't apologize one bit for that. July 15th, just this summer, in Pakistan, a Christian church dismissed. As they were walking out the door, 5 members were killed and another one wounded as the Muslims opened up fire on them. On the very same day, a long way away in Russia, and you got to understand there's a lot of Muslim communities in Russia and so forth, but just on the at the same time in Dagestan, there's a church, a Protestant church. It's a big church for that area, 1,000 members. As the preacher walked out the door, they mowed him down, they shot him, they killed him, because the local news media made the report on him that he was winning too many Muslims to Christ. I'm talking about just recently now. I'm not talking about the government workers that went out on a picnic together celebrating the free work, the compassionate work they had done, the medical work they had done over there, and they were murdered. And the Muslim cab driver that brought them out there was the only one spared, so he could go back and tell folks they were killed because they had a Bible and they were feared to be making proselytes. Now, we're going to compare some country preacher wanting to burn a Koran to all that. I like the cartoon that showed up in the news chief over here, the news chief paper, Winter Haven, Friday. You ought to write whoever over there, the editor, and thank them for it. The cartoon on the news chief had Uncle Sam, dressed as Uncle Sam, standing there talking to a Muslim with a big executioner's sword with blood dripping from it. Did anybody see it? Raise your hand. I'm not making anything up. About three of you, maybe four. You ought to read the deep things, the paper, the cartoons. Amen? Make more sense than some of the rest of it. Anyhow, Uncle Sam is standing there talking to this guy. Blood's dripping from his sword. He has a basket in front of him with heads in it that he's chopped off. And Uncle Sam says to him, and I don't know how this got in the newspaper, but Uncle Sam said to him, "We'll quit burning your Koran if you'll quit chopping off the heads of our Christian missionaries." And the Muslim says, "No deal. No deal. No deal." Now, I'm not supposed to tell you that because that's not politically correct. I want to tell you, if we don't get our eyes open, we're seeing the funeral march for America. We're going down the tubes. The confusion has got everybody confused. I mean, we're not supposed to believe what we see with our eyes. The Ledger had a write-up this week, a good write-up of a bunch of Muslims meeting in a mosque over here in Winter Haven. And one of their statements was, "Why, the Quran mentions Jesus more than it does Muhammad." That's deception, folks. I got one laid on my desk. I had it out here Wednesday night. Way it mentions Jesus is to say he's not the Son of God, that he was not crucified. Let's tell the truth. How does it mention it? It teaches that Jesus is running along like a little schoolboy, second place to Muhammad. That's what it teaches. Let's don't lie about it. Let's tell it. Let's get it. Let's read it. It's ridiculous to have that kind of thing taught. I tell you what is scary today. In Gainesville today, and I know this sermon gets replayed on the radio and it'll be out of date 5 years later when they play it, but I'm playing it on basically the 9/11. I'm preaching it on the 9/11 weekend here of 2010, so I'm putting that on it on purpose. But in the Gainesville, to offset the preacher that was going to burn the Koran, the churches, and I'm going to call them liberal churches because they couldn't be anything else, are going to get up and read passages from the Koran this morning. How sweet and syrupy, and what a lie. What a lie. Now tell me something. What passages are they going to read? Are they going to read from chapter Surah, chapter 8 and chapter 9, where it tells you to cut off the heads and the fingers of the infidels? I wonder if they're going to read that portion. You don't think so, do you? No, they're going to have to hunt hard to find a soft, sweet thing they can read to show all of us how we ought to be tolerant. And we should not stand against anybody else's religion. Religion sends more people to hell than booze does, my friend. We ought to wake up to what the devil uses, amen? Daniel said, "In my prayer, this result of sin has been confusion." And I'll tell you, the scariest thing that I'm seeing today is the internationally weak position that America and the world is holding against a force that the devil is using. Listen to me. This is the scariest thing. One little old country preacher going to burn a Koran. By the way, somebody at 9/11 Zero last night, I guess it was, burned a few pages out of a Koran before they arrested him. And he hollered, if they can burn the American flag, I can burn the Koran. Have you been seeing that stuff? Listen, folks, the scariest thing is the whole world is being held hostage. America, Interpol, England, sending a message over here, stop him from burning that thing because we fear what it's going to cause. Going to cause our servicemen to be killed. Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me if we don't burn it, they won't be killed? Let's get honest about it. Killing everyone they can. Every Christian they can. It's ridiculous what we're being asked to wink at, look at, and pretend don't exist. Appease them. Accommodate them. Compromise with them. Winston Churchill, the old leader of England in the days when they had some backbone, Churchill said, when you try to appease, it's like feeding the crocodile hoping he'll eat you last. The old man knew what he's talking about. Yes, he did. We're confusing our kids. We're trying to say all religions are equal, all religions are good. No, no, no. Is it a good religion that throws a baby to the crocodile for sacrifice? No. It's not a good religion. Is it a good religion that takes the women and treats them worse than horses and cattle? We're confusing our kids. Some of you young ladies, we have a little trouble with you because you want to dress with a modern style. You let this business come in and you can get a brand new burqa. Better look up what that is. If you want to see it on TV, about all you can see after it's put on is some eyes. You're not sure where it's a man or woman on that thing. A lot of suicide bombers have used it. That's the way they'll treat you women. You better get off your bleeding heart soap boxes. You better wake up to what reality is. I mean, when you see women with their beard in the ground and their head sticking out and stoned, and that stuff, folks, is real. And they want to bring that law inside. And Congress is being lobbied, and judges are being lobbied to let them practice that law in America. But let's don't offend them. The imam on the news program this week said if they didn't get to build the mosque up there, some bad things could happen. If that's not extortion, what is? If that's not a threat, what is? I'm saying to you, Daniel said, our sins, I want to confess them because they brought confusion among our people. And then if you look in verse 11, it says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, because they didn't obey, because they didn't obey your voice, because they transgressed your word, look at it, therefore the curse is poured upon us. America's going to be under the curse of God if we don't stand for the right truth of God. We're in danger of a curse. Therefore, he's referring back to the law of Moses. Moses pronounced a curse. Go back to Leviticus 26. Don't do it now. Go to Deuteronomy. Go where Moses announced to them. Don't do it now. Listen to me. My time's short. Get tired of you hunting a verse and can't find it out there. It's there. Go home and look it up. But not right now. I'm saying to you, we're putting ourselves on the curse of God, on the curse of the law, just like the Jews did when they disobeyed the word of God. Amen. The curse, therefore, means because what went before is bringing the curse. Let me say it this way. We can go back. We can go into heathenism. That's right. Do you understand? I wish I had time. Romans chapter 1 deals with a people over there when they knew God, they glorified not God. And they finally got turned over to a reprobate mind. Do you understand America can go back to be worse than a third world country? We can go right down the tubes. We can go under the same shackles and bondage that you see these other nations under. Need to understand that. We can. Satan wants to bring us into that heathenism. Satan is part of and the daddy of and the instigator of heathenism and paganism throughout the history of the world, which is against the cause of Christ, against Christianity. Christianity has become a dirty word in America. Patriotism is becoming a dirty word in America. It's crazy what has happened to our country. You know, it's apparent all around us. The heathenism I'm talking about is apparent all around us. Morals are gone. People are not only obsessed with sex and perverted sex, they are also obsessed with death. Our teenagers into vampirism. In, by the way, vampirism is associated with blood, and the devil hates the blood, and he mocks the blood because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from our sin. Amen. And if you're into any of that stuff, you're playing with the devil is what you're doing, young person. Playing with the devil. I'll say this. You look around, you see chains, and you see tattoos, and you see far-out dress that's indecent and dumb at the least. And you're seeing that culture all around us. It's not good old decent America. It's imported junk that's coming in from the heathen side, from the devil side is what it is. What it exactly is. Satan's paganism trying to be brought back in. Let me quickly say this. Check it out in history. The nations were pagan. The nations were heathen. God chose out some people we know now as Israel to be a light to the rest of the world and to bring them out of Satan's grasp, to bring them out of heathenism. I read over here, there's another great prayer in the Bible, Solomon's prayer, as the temple is finished. And it's a powerful prayer. And Solomon is praying it. And by the way, God answered Solomon's prayer quickly, and he answered Daniel's prayer in showing Daniel what the future was going to be. We won't have time to get to that. But in 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon is praying. He said, "Let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require," listen to this, "that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God," wait a minute, it's not through, "and that there is none else." Amen. Who said that? Solomon. In a prayer, God answered. What did he say? He said, "The whole world's supposed to know because of Israel that there's one true God." Amen. Christianity is built on the foundation of Judaism, Old Testament, Israel, the promised Messiah coming. He materialized in Jesus Christ in the New Testament, but he was promised as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We understand that. Do you understand this? That of all the nations on planet Earth, Israel was the only nation that was not into heathenism. The Philistines were, the Moabites, the Perizzites, you name them, all through the Old Testament. Heathenism, paganism, all of it, not Israel. God was witnessing the planet Earth through a nation called Israel. Israel produced a Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even England, from which America basically came, was into paganism before missionaries like the Apostle Paul and others reached them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I, though, as a nation, as a people coming out of England, become the second nation on planet Earth that did not begin in heathenism. America began in Christianity. Amen. Israel and America, the only two. But now what's happening is the devil is trying to bring us back into the heathenism and paganism of all the rest of the nations of the world. That's where we're at right now, folks. Now we're being argued from our top government officials on down. Embrace them all. Be pluralistic. Be tolerant. Mix it. Oh, no. I read my Bible and see what happened to others that fell for that lie. A very bad thing happened. I wish I had time to park on that. The blessings of civilization are all from Christianity, from Judaism and Christianity. Europe stayed much the same. Do you understand when the Mayflower come over and pulled up there on American shores that our pilgrim forefathers came over in a boat powered by sails and wind? And that's what had been going on for thousands of years. But wait a minute. In less than 200 years, we got nuclear-powered submarines in the water. God's blessing's been on America. We shared it with Europe to a great degree. Europe was riding the same mode of transportation. We sent the light bulb, so to speak, to Europe. Europe said, we're getting some of these blessings from America. No, you're getting them from God, who blessed America to be a nation that he raised up. And the infrastructure and all that we count, you go in the restroom and you turn on the water and you flush the toilet. You go and you have all the conveniences. We got the air conditioning in here this morning. God's blessings has been as a result of Christianity upon civilization. If you don't think there's a difference, go over there in the desert to the tents, where they treat the camels better than they do their wives. Go over and see the backwardness of heathenism. It's pretty much the same as it's always been. Except for poking a few holes in the ground and coming up with oil. And that hadn't done a whole lot for the general population. It's heathenism, paganism, and it's still paganistic worship that we're being asked to tolerate and accept today. So you're ripping on it. Yeah, it's 9/11 weekend. Somebody needs to rip on it.
Amen.
I see in Daniel's prayer here, he confessed the sin. He said it brought confusion. It brought the curse. And then I look in verses 12 and 13. And he hath confirmed his words, who God has. Daniel is ascribing righteousness to his maker here. And he said, he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us. And against our judges, that's government, that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. He was talking about we're under this awful judgment. God is righteous. He had a right to bring it. All he's doing is confirming his word. Listen to me this morning. God's word will be confirmed by God.
Amen.
Whatever he said, he will do. He is not a man. He cannot lie. He is God. And he's not going to cut you or I any special privileges. It's going to go by his word. Whatever he said, he will confirm. Curse, you get on the curse of God's word, you'll have a curse. You get on the blessings of God's word, it's confirmed either way. America, though, now is teetering on the edge of a great fall. What is going to happen to Western civilization depends on what is going to happen to America. And the Bible's word, God's going to confirm it. He says, the wicked shall be cast into hell. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be cast into hell. And what? All nations that forget God. See, that puts America right in that verse because we have known God. We have been blessed by God. So if we forget God, that means we once knew God. See? I have forgotten some things I once knew. And our nation is forgetting the God that made us great and that blessed us. And we are forgetting him when we try to mix him with the heathenism of Satan and the paganism of other nations that we've sent missionaries to for years to tell the truth. That's what we were commanded to do by God's word. I say to you, his word will be confirmed. It'll be confirmed in you and I personally. You heard Bob Ogden sing the gospel a while ago. On him laid the iniquity of us all. Jesus died in my place. Jesus paid the price for my sins. That's the gospel. He's the only one I can trust to pay for my sin. No Muslim has his sins paid for by Muhammad.
That's right.
No Buddhist has his sins paid for by Buddha. None of the false religions have a sin barrier. Only Christianity. And that was God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, God's Son, that came and died on the cross and paid for our sins and rose again for our justification. That's the one we look to. And you can't mix it one way or the other. And God says he's a jealous God.
That's right,
he tells us to not have any other gods before him.
Amen.
Oh, my friend, he'll confirm it not only with nations. He did with Israel. He is going to do it with America. I believe he's doing it today. He'll confirm it with you personally. The gospel is God's way of salvation. Have you invented a way around that? Then God's going to confirm his word. Jesus said, I am the way. That's his word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. God's going to confirm that. You think he's going to say, well, I'm going to let this one in over here on his way, and this one gets into heaven on his way. Oh, no. One way. Jesus said, I am the way. The way. The way. Daniel's prayer, I don't have time for it, was answered. The last C I see in his prayer here was the commandment came. The commandment came. Gabriel showed up and said, Daniel, I want to show you what's going to happen to your nation. You've prayed for them. You've confessed. You've got right about it. I'm going to give you the answer. I want to say today, a lot of prayers was offered up on 9/11, I'm sure, and rightfully so. But my friend, today as a nation, we need some of them prayers to begin at the White House and come on down with the truth, just like Daniel. Daniel did not dodge it. He did not cut any slack in it. He named it just exactly like it was, and God Almighty answered his prayer. And if there's any hope left for America today, it's going to be the people whose spirit is being stirred in spite of the leadership. And there is a stirring among old-time American spirit today as we begin to see some of those stuff. Thank God for some of the spirit I feel, but there's just too many on this church roll and others that are still asleep and don't want to pay the price to wake up. I challenge you, don't be one of those today. I also challenge you, God's word's going to be confirmed concerning your soul salvation. You either trust Jesus, let him be your Savior, or if you don't, God's going to confirm his word, and he's going to damn and curse any of your own efforts to get to heaven outside of his Son. That's right. And the prayer you will pray, like the woman with the picnic, the prayer you'll pray will be too late. Daniel's prayer, in a sense, was too late. They'd already been in captivity 70 years. Ezekiel and Jeremiah said, it's going to happen if you don't straighten up, if you don't repent. It did happen. Now Daniel, after the fact, is praying, Lord, give us another shot. Let us go back. And a big majority of the people didn't even go back. I'm saying to you, America, wake up, pray if there's any time left. I'm saying to you personally, don't wait till it's too late to pray. Come and receive Christ today. He'll receive you. He's the answer. I hope you know him. Let's stand, please.